We're in a series about sayings and stories of Jesus. Some people, some Bible scholars say this is a parable. Others say it's just a story. So we'll just compare that. We'll just say that it's a saying and a teaching and a story from the Lord Jesus himself as we continue telling the stories of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Now, this first verse is like one of the most popular verses that is spouted off and quoted, and mainly from people that are non-Christians. So we're just going to kind of like dig into this and see exactly what Jesus is speaking about as he speaks this story, this parable, this truth. Look with me there, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Verse 3 says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dog, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Lord, we pray as we begin this part of the service, Lord, that you would just anoint it. We pray, Father, that you would just open our hearts. Father, that we'd be open-minded today. Father, that we would hear on purpose. And Father, the sweet Holy Spirit would just teach us and convict us and plant in our hearts if the message is for us today. We pray, Father, that you would just allow me to have the ears as I speak to the human ears of men, women, and young people today, that Holy Spirit, you'd speak to their hearts. And Father, we pray when it's all said and done that you'd be pleased, you'd be honored. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. It's kind of become the 11th commandment. It's quoted. It's most generally misquoted. It's most generally misapplied. It's most definitely misinterpreted many, many times. And so today we kind of want to look at this teaching of Jesus, who spoke in parable stories. A parable was a story he would tell that was familiar. And then on the other side, the truth he would teach how it applied in the kingdom of God in heaven. It was an earthly story, but then it had a heavenly meaning. It was something we understood on earth, but he clarifies it as a truth of spiritual, divine understanding. And so, judge not that ye be not judged. First of all, I want us to think about improper judgment. As we look at that verse, there's a thing called improper judgment. Judge not. He starts off with him being the Lord Jesus Christ, that authority figure, that voice of authority. It's all written in red. And Jesus is saying and teaching, he says, judge not. Now, we get that word judge from the Greek word kerino, K-R-I-N-O. Kerino is what the word judge is, the Greek word. And it simply means this. It means that when he says judge not, it means that you and I, we have a responsibility, an obligation, a duty to decide a matter, to determine a matter, to correct a matter. And so we get that Greek word kerino, judge not, that we could, like, hey, decide properly, determine properly, decide, determine the correctness of a matter is what it's talking about here. Don't be guilty, the part that says not, don't be guilty of self-righteous judgment. Don't be guilty of looking at someone and condemning that someone. That's not for us to do. We're not to condemn others. We're not to have condemnatory judgment. We're simply, you know, we have to have self-judgment, and full judgment belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to see about what part of judging and non-judging that we can do. So I hope that that this will be a help today. Now, don't miss this statement. Not all judgment is bad. It says judge not, but not all judgment is bad. Because every day you and every day me and every day we, every single day of our life, we all make judgments. We all determine something. We all decide something. We all determine if something's correct or incorrect. We all do it every day. So not all judgments are bad. In our everyday lives that we live, we make decisions based on our judgment of that decision to make, go forward or not. An example, a committee makes a judgment on issues. So that judgment would be okay. An employer might make a judgment on employees or policy. That judgment isn't bad. That's okay. It happens every day. A jury makes judgments on a verdict. That has to be okay. That's not banned. So sometimes judgment is for self-judgment, and sometimes we're in a position that we've been elected to or put in or promoted to make judgments based on a school policy, a church policy, or a political policy. And so some of those judgments come under us, and we have to self-judge, but we don't judge to condemn. Judge not, that we can't condemn. So we all make judgments. We all make judgments every single day of our life. We judge on appearance. We judge how people speak. We judge on some people's behavior. We judge people when we're working next to them on their work ethic or their non-work ethic. We judge people as sometimes employers or supervisors or managers we judge on productivity of people. We judge people's attitudes. 5 years ago, October, 5 years ago, it'll be 5 years in October, but 5 years ago, I'll give you an example about judgment. 5 years ago, I came here to meet with the pulpit committee for the first time concerning the open position of senior pastor here at Spratly Baptist Church. It was 5 years ago. I met with the committee. Now, if I would have showed up on that Saturday that I met the committee at Spratly Baptist Church, and if I would have showed up on a Harley-Davidson, now I've never driven a Harley-Davidson. I'm not against Harley-Davidson. I'd like to have a Harley-Davidson. And if you're feeling generous and you have a Harley-Davidson, I would tell everybody that they said, that's sure a nice bike. I'd say, and so-and-so gave it to me. So I'll just say, I'll give you a prompt there. So if I was showed up on a Harley Davidson, now stay with me here because we're talking about judgments, and sometimes we judge people and not really understanding that it's right or wrong. And say I just showed up for my interview on a Harley Davidson, and I've got a headband on, and then I've got my wife Cheryl on the back, and Cheryl is wearing her halter top, her leather chaps. Cheryl, you look good in that. You know what? You look good in that. And I show up at the pulpit committee on a Harley Davidson, and I got this headband on, and I got the wife on the back for the committee to meet as well, and so they greet me, and they're looking at me, and they're looking at her, and they're like sizing us up, and you can already say, this guy's not going to be our pastor. No way. And I said, yeah, we're a little tired. We just got back from a tour of Woodstock, and
I'm just telling you, I would not be the pastor today, probably in most Southern Baptist churches, if I would have showed up that way. And there's nothing wrong with Harley Davidsons. Can I get an amen from the mic back there? Amen. We got some Harley owners here. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with the sound. Nothing wrong with headbands. Nothing wrong with chaps, I guess, you know. So whatever verse 1 is saying, stay with me. Whatever verse 1 is saying from the lips of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever he's saying in verse 1, judge not. Hold it. Stay with me. Whatever he's saying, whatever is written here in your Bible, my Bible, can't mean we never pass judgment. It can't mean that. Now, one of the most frequent Bible illustrations on judgment. As a matter of fact, it's so frequent, it's mentioned 22 times, different times in the Bible, and it's always in reference to Sodom and Gomorrah. It's always mentioned in a form of judgment. 22 times in Scripture. So whatever Jesus is saying here, whatever he means, whatever he's trying to teach in this story, this parable, these words of wisdom, this phrase, this teaching, this truth, whatever he's trying to teach can't mean that we can never pass judgment. But there is such thing as improper judgment. So in Scripture, you go to the book of the Gospel of John. And it's an amazing story because it's about a woman that's been caught in the very act of adultery. And pastors have used what Jesus said in that story many times to say this. Well, you can't judge. Jesus said that day to that woman's accusers, hey, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And many pastors have, and preachers and teachers and theologians have quoted that as a way of simply trying to excuse it. No, we can't judge people because he says it here, you can't judge. But Jesus said that. He said that to these men who was trying to condemn this woman, and it wasn't their place to condemn them. It's not our place to judge people in condemnatory judgment. It's not our place to condemn a person, a man, a woman, a group of people. It's not our place to condemn them. That's definitely improper judgment, and that's what Jesus said. But we misquote that many times and say, well, he without sin cast the first stone. Hey, because they reinterpreted, they misapplied it, they misjudged it, they misstated it. Because Jesus goes on to say in that amazing story found in the Gospel of John, he says, woman, and of course he's writing something down in the dirt, he gets up and all them accusers are gone, and he says, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? No man, Lord, she says. And Jesus says, don't miss it, and Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Now, when you look at that amazing story, we look at that red, to make your face turn red and blush on that story that's in Scripture. When you look at that and you read that and you study that, hey, there is a difference between condemning a person and confronting a person's sin. That's the difference in judge not. We can't judge to condemn, but you can judge by behavior. You can judge by conduct. You can judge by appearance. You can judge many times by confronting sin. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So whatever that means to you might mean something different to me. But whatever that means, it means that I have to somehow make a judgment. What is a place that someone might see me there as evil? Because we're supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. And so we have to make a judgment, not to condemn something, but a judgment that simply confronts sin, that it would be wrong, improper judgment. Now, hold it, improper judgment if we're not careful, is many times based on our opinions, our feelings, our standard, our political party. And when we judge on those things, it's always improper judgment. We can't judge other people's motives. We want to. We think we know what they're thinking. We think they know what they're feeling. But we don't. As a matter of fact, Scripture says in 1 Samuel, it says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, and only God can see the heart. And so God simply, he makes it very clear through Scripture that, hey, we can't go on what we think, what we feel, what we have an inkling of. We can't go on what our standard is. We've got to go on what God's standard is. And there's some improper judgment. And improper judgment is when we judge to condemn somebody because we don't know their heart. We don't know their motives. You see, we can judge on what people do, but we can't judge on what people, why they do it. We can judge someone on what someone says because we heard it, but we can't judge on why they said it. It's improper judgment when he said, and that's what it's talking about when he said, judge not. Meaning there's some improper judgment. There's things we can't judge. It just don't mean that all judgment is bad. We're pretty quick sometimes to find the negative in the story. And of course, the illustration I gave, if I drove up on a Harley and I'm doing this and that, and my wife's doing this and that, then it's easy to see that, but we don't know the motive. We don't know the heart. We don't know the truth. Proverbs 18 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is foolish and shameful to him. You ever been talking to somebody and you're not even finished with the conversation, the sentence, the phrase you're trying to get at, and they're already talking back and answering you. And so Proverbs says that's like a fool. You gotta listen. You gotta hear. There has to be something called communication. There has to be dialogue. Because if you answer before you hear it, that's foolish because you don't know what's coming. I've been guilty of that. The spirit of judgment ought to be corrective and constructive, never condemning or critical. And sometimes we get a little over the top, and sometimes we kind of do those things, and so we got to be very, very careful. Now, I think we can all agree that some folks are not easy to get along with, folks that are fault finders. They're like spiritual vultures thriving off the flaws, off the shortcomings, off the mistakes of others, looking, you know, where they can land, those vultures. Fault finding is the venom of the soul. It destroys our joy. It drains our happiness. It disrupts our friendships. There's something called improper judgment. That's when you judge to condemn. Secondly, judge not goes on to say in the verses Jesus gave that we read earlier, there's proper self-judgment. There's a proper way that we have to look at us first. Jesus never says ignore the faults of others, but that he does point in these short verses that we got to take care of our faults first. Not always easy to do. And this is not always easy to hear, but hey, by the way, let me just announce something we all know, but nobody's perfect. This preacher's not perfect. We're not perfect. And so we got to take care of our own faults before we can like point out someone else's faults. And there's a lot of people that love pointing at everybody else's faults, but never their own faults. And so we're talking about, number one, improper judgment. Now we're at number two. It's proper self-judgment. Look at verse 3, chapter 7, the Gospel of Matthew. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Jesus is teaching. He's storytelling. He's talking about something we can understand, and he's going to give a spiritual kingdom of God meaning and understanding through in the rest of these verses. But he's teaching That there's something called proper self-judgment. And what he's saying here is, so hey, be very, very careful. Those of you who cast judgment on a brother to condemn him, be very, very careful. Because that has a speck in his eye. You're calling him out because there's a little speck, there's some sawdust, there's a little splinter in his eye. But at the same time, you have a rafter in your eye. Now that just paints a picture that is lopsided. That paints a picture that's clear. Jesus is painting the picture like you're pointing out someone's little thing when you've got this big thing in your own eye. So there's some proper self-judgment. Psalm 139, search me. Here's what you and I should do. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked thing in me. See, we don't want to think of ourselves as sinners or wicked or vile or deceitful. But the scripture says all that about us. And so what he's saying is that proper self-judgment is looking first. Are you ready? In the mirror. Go look in the mirror. Look at us first. Look at me first. You look at you first. It starts by looking in the mirror. Not only is there fault finders, but according to Jesus, there are speck inspectors. They want to inspect the speck in your eye when there's a big old moat, a big old rafter, a big old 2x4 in their own eye. And Jesus said, you can see the speck or the splinter or the piece of sawdust a mile away in someone else's life. In someone else's eye, you can see that because you're a speck inspector. You're a fault finder. You're a finger pointer. You're a, over and over, he's saying that. You're an expert. You always find, you know those people always find the black lining in every silver cloud. That's calling the kettle black. Someone accuses you of, you're accusing someone of something that's small, and I go like, that's called, we all understand his teaching here. Here's what Jesus says to that person. Here's what he calls them. Look at verse number 5. Here's what he calls a person that does it. He calls out a guy's speck in his eye and overlooks what's in his life or his eye. And he says, thou hypocrite. A hypocrite was an actor. Someone dressed up, they pretended. He says, you hypocrite. Jesus condemns selfish judgment. Selfish judgment. He condemns selfish judgment. He calls people that do that kind of judgment, point someone out to condemn them, he calls them hypocrites. But Jesus at the same time condones, don't miss it, condones self-judgment. You got to look at you, me, we. You got to look at us first. Judge ourselves hard. Search me, Lord. Search my heart. We got to be clear and honest and open. Which should lead to eliminating the selfish condemnation that we have in our life. That's all he's teaching. He's teaching us to get us right first before we ever even look at someone else to help somebody else. By the way, it's a very small step from being critical to becoming hypercritical. I always start small, but then it always starts as critical, and then it becomes hypercritical. You know those people that blow things out of proportion? You know those that make mountains out of molehills. Hypercritical. Telling the truth that is the truth, but they tell the truth to hurt, not to help. That's what he says. No. That's improper judgment. Proper judgment is self-judgment. You got to start with you. So let me just be real clear, just so you'll know that it's never wrong to call wrong wrong. Never. when God calls wrong, wrong. We don't have the standard. It's not our standard of what's wrong. It's what God says is wrong. And if God says something's wrong, we shouldn't be ashamed, scared, afraid, sissy about it. We ought to simply call it wrong if God called it wrong. It's never wrong to call it wrong if God calls it wrong. Now, a person can do the right thing, and they can do the right thing the wrong way, but cannot do a wrong thing the right way. Because not only is wrong wrong, but right's right. And not only is wrong based on God's standard, right is based on God's standard. And so we have to know those basics too. As a matter of fact, let me just say it as a pastor. It's not always easy, but it's wrong not to call something wrong when God's word calls it wrong. Let me give you an example. I've never shied away from this subject, so no use shying away from it today. But as you know, for the 5 years that I've been here, and since I've been in the ministry since 2010, then I am a total teetotaler when it comes to alcohol. That's me. Now, my previous life, when I was high up in pharmacology, and I traveled, and I ate with the big boys, and we all went out, I was still a teetotaler. I hadn't changed because I'm a pastor. I've just always been my whole life a teetotaler when it came to alcohol. And we're talking about if it's wrong, then it's based on not what I think, but what Scripture thinks. And if it's right, it's not what I think is right, it's what Scripture thinks. And so the Bible says in Proverbs 31, it says, it's not for kings or princesses to drink wine, nor stranger a strong drink. And here's why. He goes on to say why it's why. Lest they forget the law and pervert judgment. We're talking about judgment. Judge not. And so what Scripture's saying there in Proverbs is that, hey, kings and people in leadership and people in management positions and people that are looked up to, hey, it's not proper for them to drink wine nor strong drink because it will divert their attention. It will mess up their thinking and their judgment will not be right. See, people who drink, you know this, I know this, but people who drink, and according to Scripture, this is where we get wrong, right or wrong, but people who drink don't think properly. They do things they would never do if they hadn't drank. If they haven't been drinking, they do things that they would never do. Now, I've talked about drinking before. I'm not shy about it. It's never a popular subject to talk about. But I always talk about it. And then someone will come up to me at church and say, Brother Don, would you give the wine drinkers a break and talk about those gluttons? Hey, gluttony's in Scripture, Brother Don. Why don't you ever talk about that? And I think that's funny, so I'll just laugh myself. But here's why. Scripture's against a glutton, just like it's against being a wine drinker. Okay? But the problem is I just don't know anybody. Maybe you do. I just don't know anybody who's lost their job because they overeat. Hey, I don't know anybody that's lost their family because they overeat. Maybe you do. I don't know anybody that's lost their reputation because they've overeaten. Hey, I don't know. A guy's in jail. You say, what you in jail for? Krispy Kremes. It's not my fault. I went by there and I about wrecked because the red light's on and I about killed myself and everybody else. But hey, so I can say that. Some guy be down the dumps, and I'll say, hey, what's wrong with you? He says, another woman in my life, her name is Little Debbie. Little Debbie's gotten me in so much trouble, but you can get two boxes, General Dollar, for $2. I mean, you can get two boxes for $4. Brother Don, give us wine drinkers a break. Brother Don, I heard it. And I'm just simply saying Scripture. And so we've got to be very careful. You see, a person can be overweight and not a glutton, and the same person can be a glutton and not overweight. But if your mind's mixed up because we put something in it and it's diverted our judgment, Scripture says, no, you can't do that. And so we've got to work on ourselves first. So there's improper judgment. There's proper self-judgment. Last of all, there's imperative judgment. Judge not. In verse 5, it kind of tells us that the imperative judgment starts with verse 5. And look at the word then. Here goes. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Notice now, and then. Don't miss that then. So you got to do something first. We just talked about it. We got to look in the mirror. We got to take care of us. We got to confess. We got to repent. We got to turn from it. And we got to get our stuff cleaned up first before we can ever try to help somebody else that's got something in their eye. You see, the then clause follows the first clause in that order. We got to do first, get us cleaned up and us right, and then understand that judging is not to condemn someone, judging is to help somebody. After judging oneself, then, according to verse 5, you can judge others. Judge others means to help others through discernment. Now, the eyes are very, very sensitive. It takes some very compassionate hands called doctors and surgeons and some very, a very delicate touch to perform eye surgery. The slightest mistake can be life-altering consequences. John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Here's what that means. That means once you get you done, and I get me done, and we get our stuff cleared up, and we get our stuff right with the Lord, then once we do that, first clause, then we can judge by righteous judgment, which all that means is that based on being mature Christians and believers and followers, spiritual discernment comes, and the discernment is to help somebody, and you would hope that if someone had discernment that could help you, they would exercise that discernment in not necessarily a judgment form, but in a discernment helpful form. It's never selfish or legalistic. No, it's discernment. It's mature advice and counsel. You see, judgment pronounces a verdict, which scares everybody, but discernment seeks a solution. It's different. And that's all he's saying. There's righteous judgment. Now, real quick, verse 6. 2 minutes, we're done. Verse 6, look what it says. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Now, Jesus is turning this whole story around and teaching. He reverses his teaching in verse 1, here in verse 6, that says, judge not. And then he turns around, how we judge others. Notice he paints a picture illustrating dogs in verse 6. By the way, it wasn't like dogs that you have, pets like I have. In those days, dogs were kind of anti-having dogs. They were unclean. They were wild. They were scavengers. They were unwanted. They were unholy. They were uncuddable. Dogs. But then he also judges between dogs and hogs, swine. So we know he reversed it because he's giving you a judgment. There's dogs and then there's hogs, swine, which was a derogatory term referring to Gentiles being unclean. Jesus says, don't give them what is holy to dogs. Don't throw pearls before a swine. And so he's saying all that. He's judging. And he says you got to use discernment when it comes to what's valuable, which is God's truth, God's word, the gospel. So in conclusion, judgment, judge not that you be not judged, simply means two things, and I'm done. Don't judge a book by its cover, but by its content. Don't judge a tree by its leaves, but judge a tree by its fruit. That's all he's saying there. There's improper judgment, but there's also proper self-judgment, and there's imperative judgment. As grown-up adults, mature Christians, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, disciples of Him, we ought to be able to discern correctness to people to try to help them go forward in life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Judge not that you be not judged. Heavenly Father, we pray you take the simple message. A message that's been misinterpreted and misapplied many, many times. We've done it ourselves, Lord. We ask your forgiveness. And we pray, Father, that you would just teach us. That, Lord, that you give us peace about it. That, Lord, that you would give us full understanding spiritually. As we go forward, as we represent you, as we walk in Christ's likeness, help us to be conformed to you, transformed by you, Lord, in a world that we live in, so people can see Christ in us.
Help us not to be quick to judge. Lord, help us be quick to self-judge ourselves because other people are watching. We love you. We pray and speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Reuben's here. He's going to lead us in our invitation. If we can help you anyway, you come. God spoke to you. You come this morning.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials.
Anybody?
I cannot bear
the God in heaven sent his son Jesus come to this earth. He paid for the sin of the world. That was the price that God had for sin. The wages of sin is death. Jesus said, I'm so voluntary. He came and lived a perfect life. Perfect sacrifice, died, horrible death, and those whom I saved accept him to be saved. And they begin to grow and learn. Become Christ like more and more every day. We can help you with that. We're here for you.
I must tell Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Thank you so very much for your attention this morning.